You're rich in love and slow to anger. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. His holy name, sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. One more time, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Yes, say, oh, my soul. I will worship his holy name. Oh, and sing like never before. Oh, my soul. Worship your holy name. Yes, I'll worship your holy name. Let's just give him a clap offering of praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, how grateful we are to be in your house tonight. Lord, we thank you for just bringing us through another day, and God, just giving us the desire to want to be in the house of the Lord. Bless our gathering. Speak to our hearts through your word. God, help us to receive revelation and understanding, for that's the only thing that will defeat the enemy in this hour, Lord. You told us that the gates of hell would not prevail against revelation of who you are. So God, as we enter in, meet us here in only a way that you can. Bless those that have arrived, those that are still on the way, those that would join us online, and those that are unable to sit in our midst tonight. God, look upon them as well. May you get all the glory. May you get all the honor. May you get all the praise from our gathering. It's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's just turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to start reading here at verse 25. We were there last week and kind of stopped there, and we'll just start and pick up there. Hebrews 10, verse 25, says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. And this is something that we will deal with tonight. Verse 27 says, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Amen. If you all might recall the story in the Old Testament, there's a gentleman, I believe it was, that he went to gather sticks on the Sabbath day, and they brought him before the council, and it was determined that he should die for gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And now that's how when God established a law, he expected people to follow it. Right. And back and under law, there was no grace. There was no mercy. It was just law. And the unfortunate thing, I think, nowadays is that because what Christ did at the cross, people actually make grace a disgrace. Right. And they don't follow God's word. You know, he still wants us to follow his word the same way, you know, he meant for them to follow it back then. But you know, if you despise the law, you died, right? And don't think that we could just kind of do whatever we want to do and think that grace going to cover us. It don't work that way. God still expects for us to follow his word. Amen. Look, it says, verse 28, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who have trodden underfoot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to repentance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. So let's, I'm just going to kind of go right towards slide, I believe it's slide 17. And we are going to just get right into verse 26, amen, here in Hebrews chapter 10. Praise the Lord. Again, it says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. If we sin willfully, all right, this is going to be really, really important for us. So we're going to dig in here a little bit, and amen, I pray that we'll get something out of this. Let's go right there to slide. Okay, thank you. All right, this statement that the prophet makes, if you know what is the gospel truth and it's laid out to you and God has revealed it to you, and you know it's the truth, but just to satisfy some congregation or some petty preacher or to be popular, that you want to hold on to the thing that you want to hold on to instead of taking God's word. Paul said, he that sins or disbelieves willfully after he has received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. There's your unpardonable sin, is to know what is the truth and refuse to walk in it. Now, that's some powerful statements that the prophet just made there. He called this the unpardonable sin, right? The unpardonable sin. And we're going to read a quote, you know, along those lines in a little bit. But I want you to really think about that. If you willfully, amen, disobey the truth, willfully walk against the truth, that is an unpardonable sin. And I have to be honest and tell you that there are many people that are walking in that today. Amen. Here God has revealed to them the truth, but they choose to actually neglect it, walk against it. That is unpardonable. Now you got to be careful. This is very, very serious, very, very tight. You know, let me put it that way. It's a very tight subject. I'm gonna hit this from two different angles, and hopefully we'll catch everything that the prophet is trying to tell us here. Because I'll put it this way, amen. The second angle that I'll bring, we actually studied it over in Hebrews 6, I believe, but we'll go back and pick that up. And the second angle will be that if you are truly elected, you can't commit the unpardonable sin. Oh my. Now that's I told you that's going to get tight, right? If you're truly elected, you can't commit the unpardonable sin. Let's look at Adam and Eve. Now, God told them the day that you eat thereof, the day you die. Now, Satan thought that, man, as soon as I get them to disobey God's word, I got them. The only thing Satan didn't realize that it was actually about to invoke another attribute. It was the attribute of grace. Oh, my goodness. Even when the devil thought he has tricked you, if you belong to God, some kind of way he'll bring you out of that thing and his grace will be extended to you. Amen. Thank God for that. But look at this. Amen. He says, he that sins and disbelieves willfully after he has received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. There's your unpardonable sin, is to know what is the truth and refuse to walk in it. Now, I want to bring another little quote here that he makes a comment. He says, and he's quoting the scripture again, he that sins willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there's no more sacrifice, all right? No more sacrifice for sin. Says, now, and there's where you'll rise up again and say, how about that, Brother Branham? But just remember, see, who have received the knowledge of the truth, they never receive the truth. They just receive the knowledge of it. You can be judged for just receiving knowledge of it and not walking in it. That's heavy, right? Amen. Don't play with the message. Don't play with it. I mean, God has allowed your ears to hear this. Amen. You respect with everything you got, you know, because God not playing games. There's some people that may never hear the things that we hear, may never hear that. But here the scripture saying they just received knowledge of it, right? They didn't actually receive it. They just got the knowledge of it. And, remains no more sacrifice for their sins if they willfully walk against it. Let's look at a couple of quotes here. And there's a sermon that the prophet preached called The Unpardonable Sin. All right. So let's look at this. A number of quotes that I just want to read. He says, now watch, seeing all this together, then Paul gives this great climax, this great answer now. Here it comes. Watch. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. For if we sin willfully, see, we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Now, boil it down just a minute. Here in the closing, I'm going to leave it with you. And right here is where I base my revival coming, right on this scripture. If we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice. Listen, now just he's saying he's basing a revival off of this scripture, right? This is heavy. A certain fearful looking for the judgment and the fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much more sore punishment, yea, he who has trod the blood of Jesus Christ, the covenant, which you were sanctified with an unholy thing done despite to the works of grace, how much more punishment will it be when under the dying lamb that a man that despised or done rejected to the law of Moses, he had to die without mercy because the lamb had died in his stead. How much more is the man rejected who despises the blood of Jesus Christ? If they were rejected in Moses' day, they'll be rejected today. Again, we can't make grace a disgrace. God expects us to follow his word. Look at this. He says, he goes on and says, now the first thing we want to show, what is the unpardonable sin? He said, some of them said it's suicide. You know, we use the scripture, thou shalt not kill, you know, and say, now the Bible said thou shalt not kill. And if you kill yourself, then you just broke the scripture. You committed suicide. So it's no way for you to make it to heaven. Now, this is the way people used to teach it. But what you got to think about that is that if you broke any of the commandments, there'd be no way for you to make it to heaven, right? So I remember a brother coming, Brother Mike Walls, and he preached a sermon. And now I got to be careful in how I say this. I don't think people should commit suicide and try to go to heaven. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that at all, right? But I will tell you that there was one person in Scripture that did commit suicide, and I believe he made it. His name was Samson. He pushed those walls, whatever it was, down on himself, and he asked the Lord, let me die with these Philistines. That was suicide, right? Now, I ain't advising nobody to try to be like no Samson. Amen. Don't get me wrong there. But it really boils down to predestination. That's really what it boils down to. I know the prophet tried to commit suicide, right? But God would not allow him. And I thank God for his grace to his prophet. I thank God for his grace to his people, because there's many people that might also try to commit suicide, but God wouldn't let him. God wouldn't let him. Amen. But, so the thing of it is, when we talk about the unpardonable sin, suicide is not the unpardonable sin. Let's go on a little further. It says some of them said it's suicide. Some of them said it's a mother that gets rid of her child, an abortion case. That's not the unpardonable sin. God can still forgive you of that. Not that that's right. It's not right, right? But God can forgive you of that. Amen. It says others have said this. And again, they all tie it back to thou shalt not kill. So if you kill your baby, your unborn baby, you know, you just broke the law. You're not going to make it to heaven. Well, if you commit adultery, you can't make it to heaven, right? If you covet, right, you can't make it to heaven. That's not the way this works. That's why we had a prophet, right, to help us see these things a little clearly. Not that if you steal, you wouldn't make it to heaven, right? So those things are not right. They're still against God's word. Does not give anybody, amen, a right to go out and do that and think that grace going to cover you. No, it's not. You can't just make grace a disgrace. You don't do that. Follow God's word the way he's laid it out. Amen. Look at this. It says, others said, because you once had the Holy Ghost and backslid on the Holy Ghost. So that's the unpardonable sin. And look at what the prophets say. It isn't. No, sir. It says, let's look at it intelligently. Let's look at it at the word of God. Now, over in the book of Matthew, the 12th chapter, Jesus had cast out a dumb and blind spirit of a deaf and dumb spirit, I believe it was, out of a man. And when he cast it out, the deaf and dumb spoke. The people turned around, looked at him. They said, why he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And Jesus turned around and asked them, how could they believe with their hearts full of iniquity and the way they was? Why did he condemn them? Why? Because this, that the word of God itself condemned them. But didn't Peter say on the day of Pentecost of Acts 2, about 23, 24 verses, he said, you men of Israel, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, God approved him by signs and wonders and miracles, which he done in your sight, which you also are witnesses. Now, I got to bring it further. I can't leave it there, because God used the ministry this day, and God himself vindicated Brother Branham. We don't have to vindicate it. It was already vindicated. Too many times it was proven that God was using this man's ministry. And for somebody to actually say that it was a devil, they blaspheming God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's best just not to say nothing. But you cannot say that God did not use that man's ministry. And my thing, if you see God using a man like that, Evidently, God was pleased with it. Praise the Lord. Even and everybody saying he had his doctrines wrong, well, why did God keep using them? Amen. Now, I got another one for you. Got another one for you. God used Billy Graham. God used Oral Roberts. And I'm going to say it like this. Y'all might not agree with me, and I know they were wrong in their doctrine. Praise the Lord. But they were still used by God. So be careful how you talk against people. Amen. 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 You get so close to a line here that is no more sacrifice for your sin. Going to church every day, no more sacrifice for your sin. Praise the Lord. That's why I don't entertain conversations like that. Don't let people get you wrapped up in something. You be done said something and wonder, where did that spirit come from? Stay away from it. Just I learned, when I went to Brother Branham's grave, let's see, where am I? Okay. I went to Brother Branham's grave and I saw different videos of people going there and people leaning up against the grave and taking pictures and, you know, the dove flew out of the grave and, you know, and all of that. While I was standing at the grave, I remember the Holy Spirit telling me, say, always respect my prophet. And what he told me is that don't lift him up too high and don't put him too low, but always respect my prophet, right? And what I mean by don't lift him up too high, because there are some people that have made Brother Branham either greater or equal to Jesus. That's not right. He was a star in the hand of Jesus, right? But he was not Jesus. And actually, he himself was coming off the field when people started doing that, right? So we know that he never thought that. Now, the people around him might have did that, but he never taught that, right? So I'm not so focused on the people around, because I know people got a way of just getting spirits on them, and I'm not following them. I'm following Christ, right? But on the other side, I've seen people put them so low that they make them just like anybody else. No, he was a star in the hand of Jesus. And I hate to say it, you are not a star in the hand of Jesus. There was only 7 of them, and he happened to be one of them. Praise the Lord. Billy Graham was not the star. Oral Roberts was not the star. T.L. Osborne was not the star. William Branham was the star. Amen. And if we have questions, well, why did God choose him? That's God's prerogative. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But God told me to respect his prophet. And that's exactly what I do. And all other thing that I know the prophet told us to do is say, if you read your Bible and you don't see Christ in what you just read, he said, go back and read it again. Now, he didn't say, if you read your Bible and you don't see William Branham in what you just read, he didn't say it that way. He said, if you don't see Christ, right? So what we want to do is exalt Christ. Praise God. All right. Let me go on a little further. Amen. With this, actually, he just quoted the scripture out of Matthew, and I do want to read that. If y'all just, I'm going to come back to this quote. Let's go to Matthew 12. Let's just pick this up, because Jesus makes these comments here in verse 22. Let's look at this. Matthew 12 and 22. It says, then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? You know, today me and my wife were out taking care of something, and we walked into the store, and this guy caught us in the parking lot, and he's like, I can't even remember everything he said. He's like, Jesus loves you. You want to become a Christian, read this. You know, he just kind of shoved it on us like that. I said, okay, I'm happy to see you out here witnessing. But I begin to think about it. I said, now, I really wonder if that's the most effective way to get people to Christ, by forcing them to read something. You know, read this, read this, read this. You know, like, there is no other religion that I'm aware of that does things like that, right? That kind of force people into you know, Christianity. Say this prayer, you're Christian. No, you know, just, I mean, let them process it the proper way, right? Let them understand what sin is all about, right? And why they need a savior. Let them really understand that. But as I was thinking on, I say, you know, I don't think Jesus had to go passing out tracts. I think it was the manifestation in his life that drew the people. And I believe that if we have those same manifestations, it'll draw people today. Amen. Right? That's what should attract the attention of the people is when they see God manifested in the flesh. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Your life will be the track. All right. Let's go on. Hallelujah. Verse 23, it says, and all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? He just knew exactly how to put them in their place. It says, and if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. And it goes on, it says, or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. And he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. So that's why, you know, we got to go back to these scriptures, because you either got to say Brother Branham had a devil on him. And if he did have a devil, then a kingdom divided against itself can't stand. How come the devil's kingdom is still standing and he's casting out devils all the time? Well, you got to watch these things. So it's just best don't say nothing. Amen. Listen, verse 32 says, and whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. That's unpardonable when you're speaking against the Holy Ghost. You know, even Brother Billy Paul was taught by his father. One time, Brother Branham prophesied about a lady that was going to die, and he said, I think it was Florence Shakarian, and he told him exactly what time she was going to die. And he was preaching the sermon. Choosing of a Bride, and right before he went to preach, there was an anointed. I think the sister sung in the service. She was so anointed, and Brother Branham told somebody, man, she's singing away right on into heaven. And another brother jumped up and he prophesied, thus saith the Lord, you will not die, sister. You will not die. You're going to live. So, you know, he underneath an anointing, he did it. And Brother Branham heard that and just went on and preached his sermon, never said a word. After the service, his son was bothered. You know, Billy Paul was bothered. And he's like, you know, Billy, what's the matter? He said, Daddy, you told me to respect people with gifts, you know, and everything like that. He said, but I heard you say that Florence Shakarian is going to die at a certain time. But this man tonight just said, thus saith the Lord, she's not going to die. And Brother Branham said, well, God didn't tell me nothing different. And he said, we'll just wait it out and see. He said he respected the man. But he said, God didn't tell me nothing different. Even underneath all this anointing, God, that thing didn't ring. It didn't ring a bell, right? That God didn't tell me nothing different. And, you know, but my point is that anybody that might be operating underneath the Spirit of God, you want to respect. You want to respect. Amen. Don't speak against the Spirit of God. Be careful in that area. Let's keep on reading here in Unpardonable Sin. I believe I'm at paragraph 112. Okay. Here's the first thing. We gotta think about now when, and Jesus said to those Pharisees in the 12th chapter there, he said, if a man speak against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whosoever speaks against the Holy Ghost will never be forgiven him in this world, neither the world to come. What is speaking evil against the Holy Spirit? Now, you could be mistaken saying the operation of the Holy Ghost, somebody shouting. It could be the Holy Ghost. That could, and it could not be. You say speaking in tongues, he's speaking in tongues. Is the Holy Ghost speaking through it? That could be, and it could not be. That's exactly right, because I've lived to see the time that I know that everything speaks with tongues hasn't got the Holy Spirit on them. I've seen devils speak with tongues. I've seen witch doctors speak in tongues. I've seen them drink blood out of a human skull and speak with tongues. I've seen pencils lay on the table and write in an unknown tongue and witches read it. That don't mean that they're a Christian. I've seen them shout and jump up and down and praise the Lord and go out and steal and lie and cheat and everything else. I know that doesn't come from God. He says, but I tell you, brother, where there is divine, perfect love of God resting in the heart, sealed the same yesterday, today, moving on, you can begin to take thought of that. Jesus said, this will all men know that you're my disciples when you have love one for another. Where there's tongues, it'll cease. Where there's knowledge, it'll vanish. Where there's faith, it'll fail. And all these things here. But when that which is perfect has come, which is love, it will never pass away. That's right. The love of Christ, I can't judge it by anything that you do. The only judge there is Almighty God. But Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. It goes on. Now we know one thing. Now look here. Here's the whole capping of every verse in the Bible. We'll just take it in a few minutes to show you that every place it was spoke of, the unpardonable sin, then Paul comes over here to cap it off and say, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, then that's got to be the unpardonable sin. Is sinning willfully, is that right? He that sins willfully, not now, what is sin? The next thing you have to find out what sin is. Sin is disobedience. Sin is rejecting. I love these statements that he's making. Sin is disobedience. So if you're walking in disobedience with the word of God, you're walking in sin. If you're willfully rejecting the word of God, you're walking in sin. All right. Says, now look here. Says the first sin. I had a place here. I wanted to show you the first place of this Scofield here. What he wrote in a footnote here, I believe is found in Romans, the third chapter. Now, what Scofield was doing was actually giving comments on the scripture where it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All right. And Scofield makes a note that Brother Branham refers to. Now, notice what he says. He says, I believe it's found in Romans, the third chapter. He said here, as he interpreted it through Webster, of course, in the footnotes, he said, sin, this is Scofield, sin is rejecting the revealed will of God. Sin is rejecting the revealed will of God. Sin in its initial form, and I love that, you know, when Brother Branham picks up Scofield's notes, he's bringing everybody back, right? I mean, this is not even his statement. He's giving what Scofield said, and everybody trusted Scofield as a scholar, right? But sin is rejecting the revealed will of God, the revealed will of God. All right, sin in its initial form is to reject the revealed word of God or will of God. When God has revealed something as his will and to reject that is to blaspheme or to reject God. See, you know, when we really dig in this, uh, This is not based on emotions. This is not based on feelings. This is not based on any of that. This is just the pure word of God, right? And sometimes we get wrapped up in feelings. But we got to bring people back to this. You're on dangerous ground when you do things like this. And this is why, you know, like I always tell people, I say, you know, look, you got the same Bible I got. And we know that God said he was sending a prophet. I can read it in my Bible. You can read it in your Bible. And you want to say Brother Branham was not the prophet, then you have to tell me who it was. You cannot. We got clarity around it. We know it's not going to be a woman preacher. We know that. It's going to be somebody with the spirit of Elijah on them, right? And if you look at Elijah's life, just type it out. He was a man in the wilderness. He did not get hooked up with the groups in that day. Now, they had organized preachers. Jezebel had a whole group of them that she was paying. The prophesy and do all kind of stuff. But he was not a part of that group. He was a loner by himself. Brother Branham was the same way. John the Baptist was the same way. We can see the nature. We can see that. So my question to anybody is, look, you're going to have to give me who it was. And if you don't have an answer, then I'm sorry. We don't really have much to talk about. Praise the Lord when it comes to this. Glory. It's the truth anyhow. All right. I'm going on. It says, sin in its initial form is to reject the revealed word of God or will of God. When God has revealed something as his will, and to reject that is to blaspheme or to reject God. What was the first sin? Let's look at it. You go back here in Genesis 3. You may read it when you get home if you want to. Genesis 3. When God put the Garden of Eden, put Adam and Eve in there, he told them things that they, that was his word, that they could do and things they could not do. Now watch when Satan come to Eve. He said, God hath said, thou shalt not eat thereof, but surely thou shalt not die. See it? Then Eve willfully, Brother Random said, Eve willfully, you get it? Eve willfully doing something that she knew God said not to do. Is that right? Now look at it. When Eve willfully, the first sin that was ever committed, is that right? Eve willfully knowing the will of God and refused to do it. Is that right? That's the first sin. Let's go on. Then what is sin? In St. John, the third chapter, the 18th verse, Jesus Christ said himself is this, that he that believeth not is condemned already. Now that's tight. Let's go to John 3. Let's read what the prophet is trying to share with us. Let's read this. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18, this is what the prophet is referring to. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now let's really look at that. Every time the church world got off, God would send light into the world. Every time. Here in the days of Jesus, the Sadducees, Pharisees, they were completely off. God sent Christ into the world. Now, when he took them seven stars and put in his hand, he knew the church would get off again after his death, burial, and resurrection. Church got off seven times, and he sent light right back into the world. Amen. And every time he sends light into the world, People refuse to walk in light. They choose rather to walk in darkness. History just keep repeating itself. Let's read. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So if they reject, you know, they reject the light, they reject the truth, there's no more sacrifice, right? There's just nothing there for them. And we got to be able to kind of catch what has happened in church history ever since our Lord and Savior came to this earth. They rejected it in his day, and they're still rejecting it today. Let's keep reading. Our quote here, paragraph 125. All right. He says, then what is sin? In St. John, the third chapter, the 18th verse, Jesus Christ said himself, is this, that he that believeth not is condemned already. Is that right? Then sin is actually unbelief. Satan, in his enticement, told Eve that God said that, but he didn't mean it. See how he whitewashed the word? Well, now he said, now God said it, but he didn't mean it. In other words, our eyes will be open, you know, a lot more knowledge. And now the same rotten lie is told by Satan to preachers and church members today to say the word of God says so and so and so, but it don't mean that. Now, y'all don't know. Many of y'all done heard that one, right? I know the word of God say this, but it don't mean that. And you know, actually, that was for a different time. That was for that day, right? It don't mean that today. I thank God is a lot smarter than us. And actually, what I feel is like things that he wrote back then are probably more appropriate and applicable today than it was even then. You hear it all the time when it comes to the way women should dress. Well, that was, you know, that was back in that time, and everybody wore robes. But I guarantee you the women's robes were different from the men's robes. I can assure you that. Amen. Glory to God. So that's why even today it should be even, we got better clarification in what's woman's garments and what's men's garments. We got better clarification. But, you know, you hear people use that excuse, and it's just a, you know, and like I told y'all a few weeks ago, when you hear the thing saying, that was under the law, but we under grace now. What they're getting you to do is actually disregard all the Old Testament. And I showed y'all in scripture where Paul said, no, that's not what we're trying to do. God forbid. He said, no, actually, we're trying to magnify it, right? We're trying to make it greater. We're not trying to get rid of the Old Testament. Otherwise, you get rid of thou should not kill, thou should not steal, thou should not this, that. All of that is still part of God's word. And we want it all from Genesis to Revelation. What people are doing is trying to find a way to sin, to disbelief. That's what they're trying to do. And they want to justify it with the word of God. You cannot. The same word you're trying to justify yourself with is the same word that will condemn you. All right. That same rotten lie is told by Satan to preachers and church members today to say the word of God says so and so, but it don't mean that. God's word means just exactly what it said. That's right. I'm going on in this message. It says, if you know what is the gospel truth and it's laid out to you and God has revealed it to you and you know it's the truth, but just to satisfy some congregation or some petty preacher or to be popular, that you want to hold on to the things that you want to hold on to instead of taking God's word. Paul said, he that sins or disbelieves willfully after he has received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. There's your unpardonable sin, is to know what is the truth and refuse to walk in it. Amen. Now, you believe that's right? That's what the Bible said. He that sins, sin is unbelief. Well, you say, is smoking a sin? Drinking a sin? No. That's the attributes of unbelief. You do that because you don't believe. If a man says that he believes, he must be a Christian and walk in the way that that he says he is. See, attribute. The apple is not the tree. It's the attribute of the tree. And because you lie, steal, cheat, smoke, do everything, and call yourself a Christian is because you're not born again. That's right. That shows that that's the kind of life you bear. Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them. See, and if you do those things, the Bible said, if you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God isn't even in you. You're just only religious and never had any salvation. I like this. Religious is a covering, but salvation is freedom. Hallelujah. Salvation uncovers, that's right, and shows what you are. That's true. Now, because that we do things wrong is because we do not believe. But if you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God's under obligation, if your testimony is true, to give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost to seal you into the kingdom till the day of your redemption. That's right. Oh, I like that. I like that. I got a couple more quotes in this that I want to read for you. The next one's coming out of God Perfecting His Church. It says he was standing there doing the work of God, presenting the gospel in the very manifestation that God spoke by his prophet, said he would do it. And when the Pharisees, the scholars come along, they actually believed that. But because that they wouldn't be popular, why they couldn't accept it, Nicodemus expressed it for the whole group of them. Say, we know your teacher comes from God. For no man could do these things except God be with them. We know it. The Pharisee, and then they said, oh, he's a devil. They tried to black it out after they had received it. Let's look at this again. They tried to black it out after they had received and know that he was the Messiah. Notice this. Notice the statement. They tried to black it out after. And that's the same thing going on today. After the prophet has come and gone, people are trying to black it out. Now, I can 100% assure you that if Brother Branham was on the earth, none of these folk would have approached him with these doctrinal issues. Or you missed it here, Brother Branham. I think you missed it right here. I guarantee you none of them would have had, amen, the courage enough to do anything like that. You didn't come before light because all your darkness would have been exposed. It was the truth anyhow, right? I mean, anybody would have stood up there. That's why them 400 preachers, 400 of them would not take the challenge. And all his challenge was, bring your Bible and stand by me and disprove water baptism. Bring your Bible, right? None of them would take the challenge. They were pretty wise men not to take that challenge. And I can guarantee, I assure you that anybody in their right mind would not take a challenge like that with a man that's vindicated by God. It's only after they do these things. Amen. Glory. That spirit comes along after the fact. Amen. All right. Let me keep reading. They tried to black it out after they had received and know that he was the Messiah. But to be and so now other thing is Nicodemus was actually confessing when he came to Jesus by night. He's confessing, we know you're a teacher that come from God. Now, Nicodemus was of, you know, one of these religious sects, Pharisees or Sadducees. He's of that group. So that means evidently they were talking knowing that Jesus was from God. They knew it. Nicodemus confessed it, but they refused to walk in it. Look at it. They tried to black it out after they had received and know that he was the Messiah, but to be popular. This sounds like Noah, Ham, Cush, Nimrod. This sounds like Nimrod's story. To be popular, right? Look at this. It say, oh my God, to be popular and to stay in their own church ranks, they despised him and cast him out and called him a devil. He said, you might do that to the Son of Man because the atonement has been made. The blood blood cell isn't broken. But when that comes, when the Holy Ghost comes and you do such a thing as that, there's no forgiveness in this world or the world to come. Then Paul comes around and picks it up there, up here in the gospel, over in the book of Hebrews, and said, he that disbelieves willfully after he has received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. For sin. Let's go on. Water from the rock. It says, notice him now. And when they go to the Red Sea got in the way of God. Lord Jesus. The Red Sea got in the way of God. Y'all getting this? I mean, whatever's in your way tonight is in God's way. I don't care how big it is. It's in God's way. Because if God has given you specific instruction to do a particular thing, then he expects you to do it. And if there's something in the way, then God's going to take care of it. The Red Sea got in God's way. And when Paul was on his way to Rome, and I mean, the shipwreck got in God's way. God spared him and all the other people that was on board. Not only that, when he got bit by a snake, God still spared him. That was in God's way. Hallelujah. You're not just in my way, you're in God's way. The Red Sea got in God's way. Think of that. The Red Sea got in God's way. God was moving on with his children. Do you believe he's with his children today? A little while and the world won't see me no more, yet ye shall see me, for I will be with you, even in you to the end of the world. God moving with his children. Now notice, here's another beautiful picture. We don't get too much into it, but notice that when Pharaoh's army was just about to overtake Israel, because they had to halt, the sea was before them an obstacle. But before God could move them through the sea and move back the sea, the pillar of fire went over and stood between Pharaoh and Israel. And what was light to Israel was dark to Pharaoh. You see it? If you won't accept the truth, it'll become darkness. If you won't accept the truth, it'll become darkness. Now, this is nothing but the truth. Because everybody, I don't care how strong of a Christian you are or have been, when you walk away from the truth, the devil has free reign. And you start seeing things that you never imagined that you would see. Because you're from underneath the protection. I don't care who you are. I haven't seen one person yet walk away from this word and maintain the holiness standard. Not one. Amen. All right. Listen. You see, if you won't accept truth, it'll become darkness, and you'll walk in darkness. He that sins willfully, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. All right, let me give you a couple more. This is the seal of Christ. There it is. Paul picks it up over in Hebrews 10. And it said, if we disbelieve or sin, and what is sin but unbelief? He that believeth not is condemned already. If we disbelieve willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a fearful looking to the judgment, the fire indignation which shall devour the adversary. Awful strong, isn't it? But that's what we need. If we have served the Lord, you Christians, all these years, it's time we were getting off of a milk diet. Time we were able to eat some strong meat. The strong meat is here for us, and the Holy Spirit will feed it to us if we'll only open up and let him do it. And this is strong meat tonight. This is strong meat. I'm going to tell you, this type of meat goes against everything. Well, ain't we supposed to love them? Yeah, we are. That's why I pray and everything else. But I'm not going to entertain spirits. Because, you know, I'm going to tell you, that most people that get wrapped up in this, at some point in time, just like Eve, they open up their spiritual womb to something that they shouldn't open up to. And that's how they end up in that situation. It's the truth. That's why you got to protect yourself. Amen. This other quote here out of adoption. You know, back in in Moses' time, and this is why we thank God for grace. In this time, Moses' time, they went against the word of God. Moses was up in the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments for 40 days, and while he's there receiving the commandments, and they had already received, they actually already had the commandments. God had already thundered out and given them the words that they were supposed to have. But then he took Moses up in the mountain. He wrote it all down on his with his finger and gave it to Moses. But while Moses was up there, the people got to lusting and saying, "Hey, Moses is gone. We don't know when he's gonna come back. And we need a god." They already had a god, and they forced Aaron to make them a golden calf. And as he got there, you know, worshiping around that golden calf and doing all these things, and all the people just all caught up in this, all of them caught up in it. Moses come down out the mountain, and he got Joshua with him, and Joshua say, "It was a man. It's a shout in the camp." Moses say, "That shout ain't the right shout. That noise ain't the right noise. That worship ain't the right worship." And he says, "Just come with me. Let's go down." They got down there, and Joshua saw they dancing around a golden calf. Now, because there was no grace back in that day, Moses made a proclamation. Say, "Who on the Lord's side?" He said, "Let him come to me." And different ones saw Moses, and they got up, and they ran towards that prophet. And Moses said, "Now lay them waste." They had to kill their own family members that would not stand and serve God but wanted that golden calf. Families had to turn against families. That's what happened when we were under law. But now, because of grace, we can pray. Thank God we ain't under law. I thank God for that. I would hate to be put in a place like that, right? But I do tell you this much. I won't let nobody stop me from walking in this word. Won't let nobody. I just know where God brought me from. I know what God did for me. And there, I mean, I remember Brother Robledo said years ago, "If this ain't that, I'ma just keep this until that comes." But I got confidence this is that. Amen. Adoption part 3, the prophet makes this statement, and we'll close it here tonight. God, by his foreknowledge, seeing exactly who would be saved and who wouldn't be saved, he sent Jesus to save these that he had already chosen. Didn't Paul say 5 verses behind this that he chose us in him before even was a world? That's our inheritance. God chose us. And let Jesus come and pay the price. His shedding of his blood, that no sin would be accounted to us, nothing you do. He that sins willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there's no more sacrifice. Now, and there's where you'll rise up again and say, "How about that, Brother Branham?" But just remember, see, who have received the knowledge of the truth, they never received the truth, they just received the knowledge of it. See, it's impossible for those who are once enlightened and made partakers of the Holy Ghost tasted the power of the good word, like them borderline believers back there. So many wrote letters on and that. So now this is that was Hebrews 6 is what he was referring to. And I won't be able to hit that tonight, but that's what we're going to hit on next week. Just turn with me to Hebrews 6, and I'll just hit the verse. And but I told you I want to bring this from 2 different angles. The same God that gave grace to Adam and Eve in the garden after they willfully disobeyed is the same God, I believe, is giving grace today for some that have been caught up in a spirit. And that's all it is. It's not you. It's a spirit. It's not you. That's why I can pray, right? Because I know that's not you. That ain't that. That ain't how you even operate. That's a spirit. Amen. And since it is a spirit, we just bind spirits and we lose the power of God. Amen. The prodigal son snapped out of it. Right? And Jesus didn't just tell that parable just to be telling a story. The prodigal son snapped out of it. But the way he snapped out of it is that his parents kept praying for him. Right? And that's all we do. That, you know, this is why when I share, Abraham received revelation. He understood what was going to happen down in Sodom. When Abraham got revelation, what did Abraham do? Y'all tell me, what did he do? He prayed. When Abraham got revelation, he prayed. So now that you got revelation, what should you be doing? That's why, you know, we ought to have people at the prayer meeting. If you're really concerned about something, you ought to be at the prayer meeting. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you know, because Abraham prayed, do you realize Lot was spared? If you go back and you look at Abraham's conversation with God, he was asking for 50 and 40 and 30 and 25 and 20. And then he said, well, you know, please don't be upset. What about 10? He never asked for Lot. He asked for 10. And God said, if I find 10, I won't destroy it. Now, did the place get destroyed? Yeah, but why was Lot spared? Because Abraham stood in the gap. And that's why we have to stand in the gap. Praise God, church. Amen. Hallelujah. Here in Hebrews 6 and 4, this is, we'll hit this, we'll come back to this on next week. I got to leave it here. It says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, to put him to an open shame. And what Brother Branham is going to, we're going to go back and pick it up. We already did. We went through this chapter, but we're going to go back and hit this portion again. What he's telling us that for a believer, a true believer, a man, a true son, a daughter of God, it's impossible for them to be lost. They might get wrapped up in some stuff. And he said, you know what? You might make a mistake and you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it. But being lost, impossible. Praise God. Oh, I love that. You know, he made the comment and say, my name is Branham. I might be mashed up, mangled up, messed up, you know, and all kind of stuff. You might not even be able to recognize me. But because Branham blood is still flowing through me, I'm still a Branham. And that's the way you got to look at it. You're still a son of God, still a daughter of God, no matter what the devil has done. The same God that brought grace to Adam and Eve is the same God bringing grace today. It's not over till God says it's over. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for the word. The prophet takes us deep into the scriptures. A very, very important scripture for today. Got people pulling from truth. They don't realize that a spirit that would cause them to sin willfully after they have heard the truth, the knowledge, they receive knowledge of it. God, the scripture, Paul tells us that there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. But, oh God, we know that there is just a spirit that would try to anoint people and deceive them in this hour. But the very elect, according to the Bible, the very elect will not be deceived. And we thank you for that promise. We thank you for what your word has stated. We can hold on to it. We can rest assured that, God, you're going to do exactly what you said. My, the same way that we see the enemy come in like a flood, we also know the other side of that scripture is that the Spirit of the Lord would raise the standard against the enemy. So let the standard be raised. Quicken understanding. Brother Branham said that that standard being raised is when the word is quickened to us. So God, I pray that you would quicken revelation, quicken understanding, give dreams and whatever it takes, Lord. Put people in people's paths that they might come to the knowledge of the truth. And God, they would realize that there is nothing else they can do but accept what the word, Lord, has presented for this hour. Lord, we trust that you would do the work that only you can do. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Let's prepare ourselves for tonight's offering. Amen. A couple announcements that we'll make mention of as we're making preparation. No service on this Friday. This weekend, we'll actually have the meetings there in Sarasota. Brother Danny, his birthday weekend, and turning 50 years old. So that's going to be happening on Friday as well as Saturday. And they have a service Sunday.